Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AMI. You know, Dave, Dave Rawls is our guest this morning, and I'm Vance, by the way, for those of you. Someone last week when we jumped on here, Dave, they said, "Who's talking?" I just started laughing because I thought, well, I hope you're referring to me. But, Dave, I had to go back in my memory bank. I've never had you share your story. I've never heard you share your story on Saturday AM Live. And yet I've heard it live in person on Zooms, at events over the few decades that you and I have both been playing Nikan. Would you mind taking us back to the days of Wilshire Boulevard? that's way back.
Yes, I can do that. I mean, obviously it's a different time, a different place, a different reality, so to speak, but very similar to what's going on today. And in some cases, exactly the same as what's going on today. For a lot of people, and based on their circumstances. For me, it was, I had been familiar with network marketing since 1975. So I had my fill, I had my experiences. I had actually come to the conclusion at that time in 1990 that, or maybe it was 1989, that it wasn't for me. It was one of those things that this business is not for me. I couldn't figure out how to make it work. Although I got to see how it worked. And I got to see tons of people, make it work, become successful, march across the stage, wave the checks, talk about the success of their products and what they were involved with. But I hadn't figured it out yet. And then Nikan comes along in 1990, and my circumstances were a little different. I had invested in another arena and was planning on a different type of career. And then the manufacturer that we went to work with went broke and couldn't deliver, and we're kind of stuck holding the bag and with nowhere to turn. So when I first was approached on this, I was negative. I was not interested. I didn't have anything physically wrong. I didn't have, I just had one problem. It was pretty big. I need to make some money. I needed a career. Now, and really what sparked this thing, and here was the question. The question that I was asked was, the phone call that I got is, "Hey, Dave, there's this new Japanese company in town. They're selling magnets, and I think you should get involved." Okay. Sure. That sounds like something I really want to do. It sounds like this is the direction to take. Man, this is exciting. And I said, go take a flying leap. It was really my response. And because I had another thing on my mind that I was trying to resolve, and I was trying to unwind a company. And we had a territory in Southern California with dealers, and we supplied them with product. We had a warehouse in Commerce, and so it was like, wow, we delivered to schools and governments and offices, and it was really kind of a tragedy. And I had a family, and I had the responsibilities and all of those things that had to, be done. And that's the question I get asked. Well, he kept calling me, and he kept sending me tapes. And in those days, we had cassette tapes with stories on them. And, there was this lady that had a wonderful success with the product. And, okay, great. Good for you. I'm glad you had the success. I'm not interested. And so then he got a little savvy, and this was really cool. And one of the things I learned about being successful here was he started to ask me what was going on with my life and what was important to me and what did I want and what did I need. And I just laid it out. I said, here's my story. Quite frankly, I couldn't even spend $49 to get to sign up at that time, because that's how dire the circumstance was. So, he then said, okay, well, I think I could help you. And then he showed me a couple of items that were important, and that was the income potential. And it was absolutely huge. And I had to take a step back and say, wow, that's impressive. I mean, wow, that's incredible. You know, it was a big wow. And then I thought to myself, well, there was this guy that did the thing called the Pet Rock. And, he made a small fortune by painting faces on rocks and selling to stores, and people bought them left, right, and center. So I guess people would buy magnets the same way, so that was the idea. So then all of a sudden, what happened was potential opened up. That, in other words, it's like being a young man and you had a favorite girl you wanted to go out with, and all of a sudden you got the high sign to ask her out. And so the potential of the date was like, oh, wow, this could be fun. Anyway, that was the idea, was that there could be some potential here. No one was calling me. I was really unemployable. And so I decided to join the company and go to work. Now, the next brilliant thing that Dave Rolf did at that time was he found a mentor. Now, it wasn't by choice. It wasn't, it was by accident, but it happened. And he was taught what to do and how this business actually worked from somebody that actually built it, had become very successful. Very important, lesson to learn there, because in the past, I listened to people that had never done it right. And so I didn't get all the pearls of wisdom that were necessary to make it work. Now, rock bottom, bottom line, this is no different than anything else out there. I mean, this is no different than owning a drugstore or a car manufacturer or IBM or Microsoft, because it's all based around the same idea and concept. We provide an item, a product, or a service to somebody else. Now, it's how we do it that it creates the difference. In other words, it's, when I do a lot of teaching and training on this, so that's the concept of, well, everybody dresses and wears clothes, but nobody looks the same. I'm similar. I mean, you go to a fancy ball and everybody's wearing a black tie outfit, but they're all different, but they're similar, So we know how to do that, but we have incredible styles. And of course, if you look at today's society, the styles of how things are done are quite remarkable. It's kind of like social media. Well, to me, social media is just like a giant newspaper. In other words, it's a platform. It's a platform to advertise, promote on, to do whatever. And it's a way that you can attract attention, but it's still all going to boil down to the bottom line of talking to somebody one-on-one. And that was the valuable lesson, was that, what we do today is the same as what we did 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, in the sense of what this model does. And what do? Well, we market lifestyle products. People that have a need, have a want, have a desire for what we have to offer. And it would be no different than if you were a car salesman for Mercedes, or you were a car salesman for BMW, or a car salesman for Ford. Not everyone's going to buy your car, So those that like your car because of whatever are going to come and buy your car, just the same way those that like the products or the technologies that you have are going to come, and that's how it's going to work. So learning that was a huge deal. And then because of personal situation, I just went to work, and I had a unique opportunity because there was this little cubicle office in Nikon headquarters in Westwood, California. And it was set up for distributors to use. And then there was a showroom down the hallway it was a big room with chairs and a semi-stage and then a big bed and some products on display. And then on the other side, there was the corporate offices. And there was no customer service. except for maybe one guy to answer questions. There was no brochures. There were no tapes, no nothing. It was pretty bare bones operation. But it was interesting because it had some uniqueness to it that was different. And, you know, and that was part of the mystique of making it work. Well, hey, today you talk to 20 people and I would say 19 still don't know who Neekin is or what they operate. So the mystique is still there, to move forward with. But that's a whole different story. Anyway, I just went to work and I did what I knew I had to do. I learned how the business worked. I learned what had to be done. I learned structure. I mean, structure is critical in this business, and just like anything else, and any other business in a related sense to what structure means. And I became an expert in the compensation plan and understanding how that worked. And, you know, you'll hear people say, well, your plan's very complicated. Well, you know, baking a chocolate cake can be very complicated to somebody that doesn't know how to bake. It's the same thing. In other words, once you know and understand something, it's no longer difficult. So it was a matter of learning. It was a matter of studying it. It was a matter of, and so what happened was internally, people would get their checks when they were in those days, actual checks. And they'd have a support page with all the transactions, but they couldn't figure out, well, how did I get paid? How did I get this or what? You know, so they'd call in the office for an explanation. Well, there wasn't any customer service. So I said, well, you know, and I had this little cubicle that I worked from every day and that became my office. And so I said, I'll take the calls. And I started answering those calls, and I started going over the plan with people, and I started – what I really started to see, Vance, was what they did and what result they got. And that's an interesting – you know, it would be kind of like being the apprentice to a carpenter, you know, a master carpenter, and watching him make furniture, and you're there watching every move that he makes, and you learn from – watching that. So I learned the plan by going over it with these people and understanding what they did. So I got this relationship of do and result. Now this is very important. Do and result. So I saw that if you did something, you got a result. And so now, and if you did certain things, you got a better result. So it gave me an understanding of where to work, why to work, and how to make this thing operate the way it's supposed to operate. And again, I'm going to come back to this and say, this is the neatest way to make a living that you could possibly want. Say maybe being a famous actor or something. But even that comes with its challenges where, you know, fame in our business is, you know, within closed doors. Once you leave those closed doors, nobody knows who you are. So it was really an interesting phenomenon of that success. But just into learning what to do then gave me an edge because then I could build, create, explain, help, support in a way that was workable, not a fictitious way, but a sincere, honest, you know, a workable system. And so I just went to work. And in 9 years, I built a huge empire. And I did that from 1990 through to about 98, 99. I reached the pinnacle at that time, which was a position called Royal Diamond, as we know. There was one more, but that really wasn't a real position. No, it was, but it was just, it didn't make sense to most. So it was kind of like one of those things that, well, why did you do that? That wasn't important. And that was the epiphany I had when I got to the stage of being Royal Diamond. I said, well, this is great. Now what's next? But then I had to look back and look at my organization and say, well, I want you guys to have what I've got because it's really, really spectacular. So I changed my direction. And that's what I wrote my first book, which was The Best of Interest. And that published in 1999, 2000. And that was, you know, dealing with the mechanics of our business versus the, here's one of those interesting things. We're an ego-driven business, as you, I'm sure, know. And, of course, a lot of people got to the top without knowing how they got to the top. So they would stand up on stage and say things, and then you'd, at the end of their speech, you say, well, what did they say? You know, they talked. You know, their mouths opened and voices and sounds came out, but, well, excuse me, what did they say? Was there anything of meaning, or was any meat here? Was there anything that somebody could take and then go run with and do something with? And so I said, no, I didn't like that because it was almost entrapment. And I'd seen that before. I'd seen that in other deals. I'd seen that in corporate America where, you know, people came in, took advantage, you know, did the rah-rah stuff. People got enamored, thought they could do it. They didn't learn what to do, lost their money, went their way. And I wasn't for that kind of a concept. So that took me on a different path. And that's what I've been doing ever since, actually. And I'm still doing it today. I changed the direction of teaching to the internet, obviously, and Zooms. And I wrote a digital book. And that was called The Smart Networker, which was an upgraded version of Vested Interest. And what's fascinating about the platform is I'm now rewriting the book again and just updating it to present day circumstances. But this time it's going to be published in Spanish and French. There'll be the digital modules. And then I've got a couple of series that I put on DaveRolf.com for education. The Take a Look series, the Building Business Success series, and of course our Monday morning Zooms. They're all recorded and posted there, and it's a wealth of information. And it's quite an extensive library of what to do and how to apply what to do and how to make it work based on who you are. Not based on who Dave Rolf is or anybody else, but just it's understanding the ABC, so to speak, and understanding the basics and application. And here's the interesting thing. We're all unique. We're all different. We've got our own viewpoints. We've got our own education, backgrounds, upbringings. We've got our own likes, dislikes, discomforts, all that kind of stuff. Some will have a positive effect. Some won't. Some will do it. Some won't. Some like to, you know, I mean, that's it's just such a variety. So it's like, okay, how do you appeal to everybody? So I had to go down to how does this work? Well, it works when you talk to somebody else and they like what you have and they buy what you got. It works when you get somebody else involved and they do what you're doing. It works when somebody feels better. It works when somebody feels happy about what they're doing and finds their purpose. And so it works in a number of different ways. The key is finding out what works for you. And that became the mission to provide the way and how to look. So here we are. It's now 2022. I'm approaching my 32nd year anniversary, which will be this fall. And although I'm really not full-time in building a business, I'm full-time in helping others. Because I did that. I built the business. I'm still being paid on day one, 32 years later. It's really remarkable. And it was my entire life. Kids went to school, daughters got married, grandkids, vacations, homes, boats, cars, trains, automobiles, all of that stuff as a result of doing this business. So from my perspective, I owe Nikon a whole heap of gratitude for, you know, me being involved in what they provided and allowed me to do. And this is another important aspect of learning this business. It's like, they're not going to do much other than provide you with the platform. You got to do the rest, but they gave me the platform to play on. they gave me the products to market. They gave me the system to play, the game to play, the support. I mean, when I tell new people about what this is, well, here you go. For $20, and I mean, that's a joke. That's got to change. But for $20, you get e-commerce, back office, web page, a customer service team for at your beck and call, a customer service team, a warehouse full of products, shipping and delivery, economic administration, payroll, paychecks, all of that stuff taken care of, your 1099s delivered to your door. Everything you need, all you have to do is open your mouth and go, yep, 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 and find out what the other person needs and wants and then and present it. I'm just right now, I'm working on my Monday morning call, and it's going to be on a very interesting topic called qualifications. And I'm not going to say any more, but it's a really incredibly powerful concept to understand about how to eliminate rejection and the no's. And because I never had to deal with that. But here was the funny thing. After 30 years, I really didn't look at it because it was so normal to me because that's how I was educated before. And it's a fascinating subject, and you want to tune in on and you can find the link on DaveRolf.com. So there you go, Vance. There's my story. Here's where we are. May 14th.
And I want to put a plug in for as well, because the Smart Networker, over the years, whenever it started, 20, 25, 30 years ago, books started being written and published called Something, Something for Dummies, Computer for Dummies, yeah. Driving for Dummies. And I was so opposed to that, because I went, wait a second, we're not dumb. We're really not, as a people, as a human race. So why are we saying that? And we see that over and over and over. And I won't get on my soapbox and talk about that. But I love the title Smart Networker. And when, because I don't tune into things live, because usually during that day I got something else going on. But being able to go back and watch the playback, I'm going, oh my gosh, I am smart. And all these people, these other folks, not only in NECIM, but in this industry, in the Direct Sellers Association, I think they've realized that. We've seen that, and you're right. Because as you're talking about, you know, getting on a stage and saying, yep, thank you. I remember, you know, when Stacy and I got on that stage and we were being recognized, and it took me 32 seconds to simply say, Dennis Williams gave us a gift. I opened the gift, I shared the gift. That was it. I remember coming off that stage and somebody asked me, who are you and where did you come from? And I said, well, you know, and I'm like, my job was not to train you or your people. My job, exactly what you said. Ask people questions, find out what their need is. And if they didn't recognize their need, weren't honest enough about their need, then, you know, there's so many thoughts going through my mind, but the one that jumped out at me, the biggest one, was you talking about chocolate cake. And my grandmother, my dad's mom, was an amazing cook, baker, you name it, German, 100%. And fast forward, when my father was going to show my younger brother, and they did a project, I think he had to take something to school for, I don't know what it was, but they decided to make a double-layer chocolate cake. So two layers is what the directions said, and they poured all the ingredients after they mixed it up, and they didn't follow the directions because my dad and my brother do not know how to put it. And they poured it into a 9x13 pan.
Yeah.
And when it came out of the oven, the outside was charcoal. The inner, not a concentric circle, but the inner concentric rectangle was pretty well okay, but then the center was soup, chocolate soup. And I said to both of them, I remember looking at them, I said, Dad, Nick, did you bother to follow the directions? No, we just don't. My goodness. And to this day, neither one of them. Dad at 80 years young, Nick at 51, neither one of them know how to cook or bake to save their life. Because they weren't willing to follow the directions. And You continually give amazing directions on not only how to do, but what to do. And I loved hearing your story going all the way back to is just saying, hey, just what's the need? Having that one-on-one conversation. You want to, and I want to go a different direction here because you said some things, was it last Saturday or two Saturdays ago, on the quarterly review, which is a wonderful avenue for Platinums and above to hear what we've done in the previous quarter and then simply say, okay, what can we learn from that and where do we go from here? You made a very strong comment, and it wasn't based on opinion, but it was based on facts, and I don't think the 8 billion people on the planet want to admit the truth of it. And I may be paraphrasing what you said, but it was social media is destroying our culture, or it's the worst thing for our culture. I want to ask you this question. I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. Because of what I'm seeing in my own family, because of what I'm seeing in culture, being with people one-on-one and seeing there's an eroding, there's an avalanche going down. How do we, as people who should be relationship marketing, as you said 32 years ago, just asking questions, finding out what the need is, how do we not fall prey to that? And how do we come out of that? And because people have gotten sucked into this, and they it's become who they are. They can't, literally, I watch people, they can't even carry on a conversation with a stranger or open a door or wait for an elevator without being glued to a screen.
Yeah, it's amazing. We go out to a restaurant and we see couples or families at the restaurant table, and all of them have their smartphone and they're all glued to their phone. And they're hardly interacting at all. It's absolutely bizarre. I don't know what the answer is. Other than, you know, I think eventually what will happen. Okay. So I'll give you an example of why this is bad. Okay. One of the biggest problem in our society because of social media, because of the internet is a touchy subject, but it's child abuse and how it's been it's a $3.5 billion industry today. Now that's because of social media. That's because of the internet. That's because people are in their home. They can do everything private. Nobody has to know what they're doing, and they get down the wrong roads that just wasn't available when I grew up or you grew up. And you know, we had to learn by getting out there and gaining experience. And it was that experience that opened up the wide world of, oh wow, we can do this, we can do that. And it's almost like social media is an interiorization, and not all of it. I mean, let's say some of it's good in the sense of you're building a business and you want to make a name for yourself. You know, it's a form of advertising, but it's, you know, like anything else, it has good, bad, and indifferent. So, and it's a choice, you know, again, now I have a son who's in the millennial, age group, and he got rid of all his social media. He got rid of Facebook, he got rid of Instagram, you know, and so on and so forth. And so I guess, you know, people get to a point of look at the time people take. Now I'll give you this as another aspect of this, and it's with our Zoom calls. And one of the things I've said to people, and I'm coaching or mentoring, well, how many Zoom calls are you on? Because there's a lot of calls that you don't need to be on. And I think people look at this as a way, as a crutch, they have to. And again, it's all part of that education process. You know, does the shoe fit? Can you use it? What's going to do for you? And I think what you mentioned, Vance, and what I observed is that people get sucked into it, not knowing how they get sucked into it. And then it's almost like, you know, it's an addiction. Like, look at Google search how many gamers there are playing internet games. It's astronomical. I mean, it's just unbelievable what, you know, what people are spending their time at, you know, versus out hiking or walking or climbing or playing or, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And then anyway, that's a, you know, we can talk about this for days and weeks and months and years. So there you go.
Right. And we're not going to solve it. I think the reason why I know that it was so pivotal for me hearing you say it is because, okay, finally someone else, and it's not somebody's agreeing with me. I was not looking for the validation. Just like, okay, please, can we move on from there? Can we simply say, hey, pick up the phone, go to a place where we got a dear friend who stopped by last night, and he's got a booth at a chili cook-off, and it's like 55 degrees outside. It's going to be raining. But he said, I said, hey, why don't you just simply do this? Since you're going to focus on the environmental solutions that Nikan has, why don't you just simply, as people are walking by your booth, ask this question. Do you know anybody that drinks water or breathes air? And he goes, oh, yeah, I can do that. And I said, just have fun, Larry. Just have fun. Get their information. Get a dialogue going. Get their name on a clipboard and get ready to do some fun follow-up. But if they answer no, because I hear you saying this, it's not about whether they have a need. It's about if they know and if they're open to coming out from behind that screen and actually interfacing with people. I saw both my parents do this for years, and they still do it today. They ask because they're constantly in the mode of training and duplicating. Dave, we're in a position now with Nikan where with Luis at the helm, and there's so many, especially coming. And I have to choose my words carefully, coming out of COVID or coming out of lockdown where we were really just ingrained in everything. We have to be on these screens. We have to do everything via Zoom. We can't do things live. And we can. We have to be a little more concerned about not, we used to say vomiting Nikan on people. Now it's literally just, hey, cough in your elbow. Try to be nice to other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, those golden rule things. But looking at it, where we're going, because we've got a baseline of products. We've got free shipping, just like Amazon, you know, delivers on all our big things. We've got expedited shipping on, you know, a pound or less. We do have an amazing customer service. We've got an amazing, wonderful website that I had a customer tell me this week. They said, I love it. I really love, you know, and I said, good, because it's fun and easy when you go into it with that mentality. For people that whether they're just joining Nikan, and I want to make sure we're careful about this, joining, as you said, that ridiculous amount of $20, that we're buying blue sky with that investment. What should somebody do, whether they're restarting or they want to just, hey, tweak a little bit and say, what I'm doing is working, and I'm very content with what I'm gaining as what I'm putting in. We've got several people in our organization that fit in that category. But how do they ratchet it up? How do we ratchet it up a notch with everything that is in front of us? Because you had also made a comment, I think it was on one of your Smart Networker Zooms, that our drug problem, pharmaceuticals, surgeries, recreational drugs, is way worse than it was 30 years ago. We've gotten worse.
Yeah.
With legalized everything, and that doesn't make the society any better.
Yeah.
Cultures implode around the world because they legalize so many things.
Yeah.
So our need is greater. How do we take it up? How do we turn up the temperature
to get better results? I think probably the safest, smartest, fastest answer to that is in the understanding of what do you want and how do you fit what you want to this model. Let's do an analogy here. So I'm a great fan of HGTV and I love watching the Fixer Upper shows where they take a disaster and turn it into a masterpiece, and it's just gorgeous and so on and so forth. And you look at that and you're just like, wow, isn't that great? And so we remodeled our house, you know, my wife's in the, when COVID hit, she had to move home from her office, and she was in the, she's in the wealth management, and so she sits in the, her office became the dining room. And then she started to look at things from that perspective and said, well, we need to change the carpet because the cats pee on the carpet. We want to change the, you know. So anyway, we ended up remodeling the whole house, everything from top to bottom. And we hired a professional, and we went through it, and we walked through certain things. There were things we liked, things we didn't like. Now, I love to do that kind of stuff. So I knew what they were doing, so it made it easier for me to understand what they were saying. It made it easier for me to understand what they were doing. And so we got the job done right. Now, how many people have tried to do that as a business and failed? And it's tons. You don't hear about that because, you know, they didn't have the viewpoint or the vision or the understanding. So what I observed in our business, and it's no different than you deciding you want to go to be a lawyer and go to school. That's what you want to do. You know, it actually was the first lesson in the book of, you know, if you're going to be a networker, well, then be the networker. That's your profession. You wear the hat just like an engineer wears his hat on a train and the conductor wears his hat on a train. That's who you are. That's your job. That's your profession. Be it. And then you will do what you're supposed to do, but more importantly, you'll learn what to do. Now, as I said earlier, this is, okay, when you think about it, here's a business that, you know, you got to work at it for a certain amount of time. Maybe 5 years, you know, if you're brand new in a career, maybe 10 years, but then you could have the rest of your life off. How would you like that? That was the viewpoint. And that's the viewpoint I had, and that was the viewpoint I got, and it was understanding what had to be done. Well, that compared to some of the friends that I have that have been working their whole life, doing something they don't like to do. But, of course, in today's society, people change their jobs every 5 or 6 years anyway, so it's a rotating thing. But here's the neat thing. I traveled the world, I took care of everything, and every month the check came in, whether I got up or didn't get up. And that was the interesting viewpoint. So, what is it that you want, and then understand what has to be done, or what has to be created, or what has to be built, or what has to be put together, and then understand what you need to do. That's the best advice I could give. Because if you can see those things and put it together and get educated, then this is the easiest thing in the world to do. It's all we do is talk. I mean, obviously you got to have a willingness to go communicate to other people. And that's, you could actually learn to do that too. But in the sense of it's all based on knowing that it can be done. And then having that understanding of what to do, and then it's like anything else. You go step by step by step by step by step. And what happens, Vance, in my opinion, is people, you know, they get excited. You know, the person that they're talking to tells, hey, we got this neat product. It's going to make your, you know, this better or that better, fix you up, blah, blah, blah. You should become a distributor and do this. And they get all excited and they get in, but they don't go to the next level. They don't look at what they want. They hope they can get somewhere. They hope they can do this. They don't get educated. They don't, you know, all kinds of don'ts. And then they, you know, get out there and they get rejected and they get lots of no's and they don't know how to deal with that. They don't know how to handle that. And again, this is all learned behavior. I mean, this is all stuff you can learn, and it's easy. It's not difficult. So it's, you know, the right approach, the right setup. It's, you know, it's like being a pilot for a plane. I mean, you don't just hop in the plane and push the button and take off. You go through flight school. You learn what to do. You simulate going up, coming down, landing, turbulence, different circumstances. Well, again, that's kind of what I had. I had that simulation. I had somebody sit down and talk to me. I had somebody show me. And what was fascinating about that was, okay, you want to build a house. And you say, I want a four-bedroom house. Here's my land. And what do? You go to an architect, and he draws you a picture. And here's what it's going to look like. And then he creates a set of plans. And here's what you do. You follow these plans and you build it one brick at a time, one step at a time. And so with that same viewpoint, how I applied this business, how I teach this business, but it all boils down to the same thing. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So the best advice, know what you want and then understand what has to be done. And here was the other point about that, was that, okay, so if you wanted to make $5,000 a month, it wasn't going to happen by you signing up two people. It was going to, you know, you had to have a certain structure. You had to, you know, you had to have a team. You had to have the support. And so it's again, it's kind of like building a house. Well, yeah. Oh, I can go down to Home Depot and I can buy some wood and start building the house, right? No. I mean, you could if you were very skilled, but the average guy is not going to do that. You need to, let's do it the right way. So it's, again, what do you want? What does it look like? How does it work? What are the activities? What do you know? What don't you know? What do you have to learn? You know, who's your mentor? Who's your coach? Who's going to help you? And then the next topic, and that's how to eliminate the no's, which you'll find out on Monday. I'm not going to tell you today because then you won't come on Monday.
And again, if you missed that, folks, it's really simple. DaveRolfe.com. Okay, it's really not rocket science. And speaking of becoming a pilot, Alaska Airlines announced this week that they are 50% less pilots than they need, and waiting for a co-pilot a couple of Saturdays ago, I realized that, wow, there is a shortage. And it's really not so much a shortage. It's because that our culture has changed our system. And again, and I'm not going to say that the screens are destroying everything. However, I sat in that Salt Lake airport for an extra 3 hours. I did what I call the O.J. Simpson, and that's what our family calls it. And I ran from one terminal to the other because I only had 40 minutes to get to my next connecting flight, which turned into being, you know, almost just shy of 4 hours. But I met some wonderful people. We exchanged information, and I, you know, found out all kinds of stuff. And now the fun begins for me is following up and simply popping them a text or calling them. I prefer that. And then saying, hey, tell me about your trip. And, hey, you were wearing that arm brace, and you were using a cane, and not focusing it on so much, but getting them to talk, because we talked about vacations, we talked about family, we talked about all these other things. So I have to learn a little bit more. And my goal, really, as you keep reminding us, getting them to ask the question, Vance, why do you keep asking these perturbing questions?
Because
I do, and it's not to sell them anything, but just simply to see if they're open for what Nikan has to offer. Because some people, they are content. Yeah.
One last point. This isn't for everybody. And what I mean by that is we do need airline pilots. We do need construction workers. We do need doctors. We do need nurses. We do need many people. So this was one of the lessons I had to learn, was that I was looking for a particular individual, not everybody. So my job was to sort through the myriad of different folks, different life circumstances, and find what I needed based on the character who also wanted a similar outcome or a similar deal. That's where we go to work. That's what the objective is. And again, it's if you want this badly, if you wanted a residual income of $20,000 a month, so you could do anything you wanted to do whenever you wanted to do it and have that for the rest of your life, and that was really important to you, because then you could help, you could be a philanthropist, you could do all kinds of wonderful things and make people happy, and that was really important to you, then, okay, understand what you would need to put together for that to occur. Well, you could go to the grocery store and buy a lottery ticket and win the lottery. That would do it. I mean, that would do it. Now, what's the likelihood? How many times you're going to have to go to the liquor store and how many lottery tickets you're going to have to buy in order to win that prize? For some people, they might do it for their whole life, every day, every week, every month, and never get anything. And then yet some people win that lottery. Now, it just depends on the intention, the desire, the willingness. But aside from those things, it's the know-how. And so when I look back at the people that I got involved, we were on the same page. So that's really what I'm looking for. It's not everybody, but the people that are on the same page. And that's a hint about what we're going to talk about on Monday.
And Dave, and again, as I put in my email, I can see your infectious smile. Which that's the great thing about what you're doing with the Smart Networker Zooms. And if you miss them, folks, again, like I do typically, because I have another business, and besides me, I get to play with my older brother, and we have way more fun than we're supposed to be able to do it. But being able to watch the recordings and continually learn and go, oh, okay. But as Ben and Mike put in their Core Consult newsletter yesterday, don't drop the ball. I think the biggest thing that I've learned and heard you say, Dave, over and over this morning is that it does come to making a decision and what do we want. And that means picking up the phone, belly to belly, toe to toe, finding those people. There's only four aces in a deck of cards out of 52, and there's a couple jokers that'll think, great, four kings, four queens, and idea in any game of cards, you want those higher sweet ones, and we have to keep going and going. And interesting to note that there's 52 weeks in a year, and there's 52 cards, so if we just found or talked to one a week, that would be a good place to start, but at the same time, we might need to up our game. SaturdayAMLive.com is where this conversation will be posted along with all the others. If you've never seen Dave in person, you'll get to see his picture there. It'll be uploaded soon. And Dave, I simply want to say thank you, because I don't know why pray tell why did I never ask you to share your story on this format? And I hope that maybe even once a quarter, you would come back, because this is a different platform. Like Brody Craney on Thursday afternoon does the same thing. And folks, if you've not listened to those live or done the playback, even easier. You don't even have to have a computer. You just pick up the phone and you listen to this last week's 2 days ago was about sleep. And Brody is an avid researcher, and he gives the facts. So if someone says, I sleep great. Really? You might want to listen to this. And Nikan has made it very, very easy with the fit and all the other modalities you have. So, Dave, again, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next. And I look forward to having you back real soon. So, again, folks,
well,
Dave Rawl.
To be here. I hope that helped. And hope people got the message. And, make sure that there's a wealth of information on DaveRawl.com. So check it out.
To learn more, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.